C2A. Number 12A.
We were asking that question. What happens if the Creator is seen as spiritual and the birth is seen as spiritual? What happens when mind creates only ideas and spirit brings forth these ideas as spiritual ideas? Then the bringing forth of the Son is therefore no more corporeal, but must be wholly spiritual. And this is what Mrs. Eddy then shows in the last chapter of the textbook with the woman. So in relationship, or in, let's say, in relationship to Mary, the Virgin Mary, she depicts really the woman in the apocalypse, and that woman in the apocalypse is not material. It's a spiritual state of consciousness which really accepts what? That principle and idea is one, and that is the Son. That is the form of how God expresses itself. So we must see that Mary of the 5,000 year period is overformed today to the woman as a symbol, as that symbol that says, I have a self-conscious communion with God that accepts mind as the creator and spirit as that which brings forth the offspring of spirit. And the Son that results out of that is therefore completely spiritual, and today it is called divine science. So instead of having a human concept of the Christ, we have a purely spiritual concept of the Christ as divine science translating itself constantly to the point of Christian science. So in this world, we do not need to imitate Mary, the Virgin Mary, and say, how can I also bring forth a savior or a boy, but the boy that is imbibed with the Holy Spirit but has a corporeal form? That's no more our office. That's not what we have to do. We have to be clear about that, or else we try to imitate and to emulate the Virgin Mary state of consciousness. What we have to do today is to comprehend the woman sense in the apocalypse, which only sees the correlation of principle and idea, and not even anymore, as she says, the correlation of God and man, because that still has a corporeal connotation somehow within our consciousness. But the divine form would be that we see that we have to give birth to divine science. And that's the great point of today. Yes. And so we go to the next subject of soul. Well, what could be or must be in the subject of soul, truth of soul, when truth is showing us the birth of man, the manifestation of man? What is man at the point of soul? Man is sinless. Therefore, at the point of soul, man rejects sin and is always blessing everything. And this is what we find here exemplified. I read now, Rabbi and priest taught the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law was the rule of soul. Thou shalt not. It wasn't really a law the way we consider a law. It was called that way by people. The biblical term is commandment, and that has much more the sense of a rule. What he gives there are rules, the rules of soul, which really said at that time an eye for an eye, and whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Not so did Jesus. He had other rules, so he brought a new rule. Jesus, the new executor for God, the new representative of God. God is never without its representative, never without its executor, and present the divine law of love, which has a different law, namely, it blesses even those that curse it. So it's the fact about an eye for an eye. Jesus brought a different rule, namely, to bless always, to bless always, to bless always, no matter really if we are blessed or cursed, that doesn't matter. What matters is what we entertain in consciousness. It's not what others entertain in consciousness that should be of any value to us, no indication for us how we should behave or what we should express. It's always a sense, what do we have in consciousness? What is the true consciousness, the consciousness of truth? At the point of soul, it is always to identify everything divinely. Therefore, to bless, to bless, to bless, and not ask, are we cursed or are we not cursed? She goes on in the same tone as the individual ideal of truth. You have here a very nice sense that really the truth is individualized and has an individualized ideal. Christ Jesus came to rebuke. So truth here begins to rebuke. We know soul rebukes because the sinlessness of soul does not accept anything that is not of the same nature, and so rebukes the opposite rabbinical error and all sin, sickness, and death, to point out the way of truth and life. That was Jesus' mission, was I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that was his specific mission. And you can see that it was what? Namely, truth and life, says the individual ideal of truth. That's how she started out on line 19. So the individual ideal of truth, he wants to show that God can be translated to the individual man and bring out the whole ideal of God in each individual man or in each individual situation. This ideal was demonstrated through the whole earthly career of Jesus. If one actually hears what she is saying here, she is really saying that it is truth, life, and love, that Trinity that makes up the Christ, which we have seen right from the beginning, from the first sentence, that was the authority that stood behind Jesus, and as that authority, namely the way, which is truth and life, but operating throughout the earthly career, through the whole earthly career. It gives a sense of love, that the plan of love says, well, that individual ideal must be brought out through the whole plan of love, so that it is a fulfilled sense of our individual mission. Showing the difference between what? The offspring of soul and the opposite, the offspring of material sense. Again, can you see now it is the offspring not of spirit, and now it's the offspring of soul, because she has to correct the offspring of material sense, and material sense can only be corrected through soul, of truth and of error. Can you see again a terrific blending of truth and soul? The side note is rebukes helpful. So we had the tone of soul rebuking sinful sense or material sense. Again, we go on. If we have triumphed sufficiently over the errors of material sense, you get again the tone of soul, to allow soul to hold the control. You remember we had soul controls. Soul is superior, the greater controlling the lesser. Here we get that all, that soul is now holding control over material sense. Can you see something very different than in mind and in spirit? In mind it was the creator, in spirit it was bringing forth. In soul now, showing that the higher must control the lesser, because Jesus was shown as the way shower, as a dual nature, and now soul has to show in that dual nature which one has the upper hand, which one, what controls what. Isn't that always the third step, you see? Always after spirit having shown the line of demarcation and having shown the two things, the line that separates the two things, soul always comes and says, now which one of those two things should be the real, which one should be superior, which one should control the other. And so soul always comes and says, well, the real has to control the other, so that the other is in subjugation to the real. That's our creative law of thinking. Yes, so I have to start again. If we have triumphed sufficiently over the errors of material sense to allow soul to hold the control, we shall loathe sin, counterfeit of soul, loathe sin, and rebuke it under every mask. Can you see again? Soul rebuked. Seems that this is a great tone here in soul, that soul then rebukes the false sense, the material sense. Yeah, only in this way can we bless our enemies. Again, is that the new law is to bless even those that hate you, though they may not so construe our words. We cannot choose for ourselves. Again, a great point of soul. We cannot choose for ourselves. We cannot define what we want to do, what we want to achieve, but must work out our salvation in the way that Jesus taught. How did he teach it? In meekness and might. In meekness and might. Meekness, the third beatitude, huh? Blessed are the meek. Always meekness is that where we subject ourselves to the higher, where soul holds control. So in meekness and might, he was found preaching the gospel to the poor. Pride and fear, well, pride is naturally the counterfeit of meekness, are unfit to bear the standard of truth. They cannot bring forth the Son of God, the standard of truth. And God will never place it in such hands. So we can always be sure, this is a sentence that she elaborates all through the textbook in various ways, which shows God never really places his great idea into the hands that are not really ready for it, that are not fit to really carry the idea on. That's always one's comfort, that one knows that if one has received an idea and has seen something scientifically, that was only possible because God felt it is safe in our hands and that we make the best of it. Because God will never place it into the hands of pride and fear. Never into the hands of those who say, well, I'm the greatest, I'm the brick shot, I'm the best of it. It never places it in that hands. Always into hands that are meek. Though, she says, the world may never construe it that way, may never think that way. The world will always see, well, there is a lot of personal sense there, there is just a lot of sense there, who shall be biggest, who shall be greatest. But that's not true. It's only that the world can never measure the idea aright. God never gives an idea into hands that are not worthy of it. Never. That we can trust. Yes. So we have three paragraphs on truth as soul. And in that paragraph, constantly saying what we have here as an epitome, through man's unity with truth, we execute the new rule, not eye for an eye, not the Mosaic law, the new rule which blesses, which rebukes sin and blesses all mankind. It's always soul that has that consciousness which always identifies everything in the divine light. That's always. That does not take the testimony of the physical senses as testifying rightly and then measure everything according to that. Soul has a soul sense which says, I can only know what I have within myself. That soul sense of spiritual understanding says, I can only understand that what I can spiritually understand. I can never understand the testimony of the physical sense. I can never accept them as true. I rebuke that as true. So it gives a great sense how we establish within ourselves the true identity of our manhood. We go to the next subject, principle. Well, that's a tricky one. Let's say an uncomfortable one. The moment we have truth that says, I'm a principle, I'm not the person. The moment truth says, I have a universe that is governed by a principle, I have not the people universe, then you really touch a sore spot in the human mind. Nothing is more valuable than the people universe for the mortal mind. Everybody has a people universe, and those people are the main thing, and those people are not allowed to be hurt. That is drifting down into the really mortal creation, where we have a people creation and a people universe. Think of it, what she says here. Jesus acknowledged no ties of the flesh. Do we do that? That's a tricky thing here. That he acknowledged no ties of the flesh. He said, call no man your father. Are we willing to do that? Upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. We really have to make up our mind at this point. Is man the outspit of the parents, or is man the idea of God? If man is the outspit of parents, we have a family and we have relatives. And the moment you have family and relatives, you are in trouble. Nothing gives more trouble than people. The body doesn't give us so much trouble as people. Does your body trouble you a lot? No. I don't think so. From here, perhaps from time to time, you have sore muscles. If you have done aerobics, well, that can happen. But constantly we are troubled about people. What they do, what they say, what they think, and so on. And that comes from that point of truth as principle, that we are not willing to accept that. It's our unwillingness to have a true family. The family of ideas, the family that think really according to principle. And so usually our true family consists of friends who think the same way as we think and are much nearer to our heart than the corporeal family, brothers and sisters and mothers and children, I don't know what. Again, he asked, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Implying that it is they who do the will of his father. And you see, now she establishes the true sense of family the true sense of relatives, so to say, of relationship, namely those who do the will of the Father. These are my brethren and my sisters. And so we have no record of his calling any man by the name of Father. She repeats what she had on line 3 and 4. He recognized Spirit, God, as the only creator, and therefore as the Father of all. And this is giving us a sense of principle, which says only those who are obedient to principle, who are one with principle, who are aligned with principle, are actually our relatives. They do the same, they are interested in the same, and they acknowledge God as the Father of men. It's interesting to see, say, in the Old Testament, you had honor thy father and mother as a Mosaic law, and then Jesus came and said the very opposite, and even said to his mother, "Woman, what have I to do with you? You don't belong to me. What have I to do with you?" He rejected her in a way, actually in a nice way. He just saw that he is not the outcome of her mother, of his mother, and that he has another father and another mother. Though naturally he was always kind to father and mother, but this is something else. This is on a moral level, this is on a human level. So we have to see that we more or less combine those two states of the Mosaic law, honor father and mother. We really should acknowledge also what father and mother have done for us in a human way, on the human basis, and that's big, that's beautiful. And a mother can, and a father can form our whole attitude right from childhood, our whole character they can form. But that is all right until finally we come to the third degree and see this is not enough. We have to be formed by mind and spirit so that we really represent the identity of God and soul, and therefore acknowledge only the divine principle as that to which we are bound, to which we are related, and that is our whole relationship. So that working out really our spiritual life, we must go back to truth as principle here and see that no man is our father, no woman is our mother. We can't help that. That has to be accepted. And we know that that is difficult for, especially for parents, to accept it. And that's why it is so difficult to see how people stall because they can't go over this point. I always see that people who are too much interested in the family as first place, everything do so that first the family is happy, that the family dictates what they do with their time and with their money and with their talents, that then they stall. They stall. They can't go on because they have not found their principle. And only principle leads to life, only principle opens up the way of life, and only principle demonstrates the newness of life. And if we don't make that demonstration over human relationship and see that in the right place, namely that place is secondary and not primary, we never get on. You can look into the world and you can see that somebody who is too much engulfed in the family never can make a grade. That's sad, but it is so. And the family would not lose anything if you would not accept the family as family. They wouldn't lose anything. They would gain everything. they would gain our higher concept of what is father and mother and child and son. They would get a much higher sense of it. A much higher spiritual sense of relationship would dominate then the human family, and they would only be blessed by it and never would lose anything real. They may lose something that is wrong, yes. Thank God they would lose it. So that those two things do not really, are not in a battle. There is no friction in there if we put first things first. If we put again our true family, our true relationship first, and let that true relationship determine the human relationship, then the family is okay. But it seems that this is difficult. It's a pity. But again, you can see, we cannot demonstrate that before we do not start with mind and spirit. If we do not start with mind and first accept that our Father is the Creator mind, and that spirit alone brings forth and not the woman brings forth, only then have we a basis found on which we can build relationships. Yes.